This is a new day for New York 19.
Where is the good officers at? If 11 of them is no damn good, we want to know where the good ones at.
I believe the goal is beating Donald Trump.
Watch your
tongue. What do you mean? She just called me names.
So I don't give a f- she spoke the truth.
Whoa, look at that. There's a beaver 5 feet from us. Usually they whack their tails on the water and try to scare you off. That was a pretty brave beaver.
We've learned some tough lessons, and those lessons are we have to hold people accountable.
Hi there, it's WAMC News Director Ian Pickus, and on this episode of the WAMC News Podcast, we're covering a high-stakes time for horse racing, the Lenox, Massachusetts town board meeting, President Trump's unreleased tax returns, and the latest suspension at the Springfield Police Department. But first, an update to a story we've been following for months. The parents of some of the 20 people killed in October's limousine crash in Schoharie, New York, testified during a state Senate hearing in Albany this week. They're calling for stronger limo inspection rules, seat belts and airbags in all limos, and better enforcement to ensure vehicles and drivers have proper licenses. Limo owners testified that the industry is already heavily regulated and that state officials should instead improve enforcement of current laws. Officials say the limo in the Schoharie crash should not have been on the road. Despite the tragedy, just 3 of 63 state senators showed up for the hearing held by the Transportation Committee, which itself has 15 members. Well, with thoroughbred racing again underway at the New York Racing Association's Belmont Park and the Triple Crown season upon us, NYRA is highlighting safety reforms at its racetracks. WAMC's Southern Adirondack Bureau Chief Lucas Willard picks it up from here.
A release Tuesday detailed NYRA's efforts instituted in 2013 to maintain safe racing surfaces and assess the health of horses, both on and off race days, as well as collaborations with the horse racing industry. Pat McKenna is a NYRA spokesman.
I think we're rightly focused on what it is that we do each and every day to be sure that we're continuously analyzing our safety procedures and protocols, that we're listening to outside experts, and evaluating our overall program to be sure that that we are taking every possible step to make sure that we're providing the safest possible environment for our races.
The Kentucky Derby at Churchill Downs is set for Saturday, one of the biggest racing days of the year. But this year, the race comes after a lot of negative press surrounding the horse racing industry. Critics have decried the 23 horse racing deaths over a three-month period that led to the temporary closure of Santa Anita in California. That number does not include training deaths. NYRA is highlighting figures from the Jockey Club industry group that show its fatality rate of 0.86 per 1,000 starts for the recently concluded meet at Aqueduct is about half the national average of 1.68 per 1,000 starts. For 2018, NYRA's fatality rate was 1.2 per 1,000 starts. But Pat Batuello of the group Horse Racing Wrongs says the numbers generated by the Jockey Club can be misleading.
Right off the bat, they do not include any training deaths. In addition, it's a voluntary database, so you know most tracks do participate, but some don't.
McKenna says equine health and safety are of the highest priority at NYRA.
You know, between an emphasis on constantly improving and analyzing the racing surfaces, matched with the team of world-class veterinarians that are experts in their field employed here at NYRA. These are two of the more important aspects of how it is that we take care of horse and rider.
Batuello dismisses that messaging.
This is what happens, you know, every time there's a string of deaths at a high-profile track like Santa Anita this year, like Saratoga back in 2017, Del Mar the previous two summers to that, the industry starts scrambling.
The summer racing meet at Saratoga, now expanded, is approaching, and in July, all eyes will be focused on the Spa. Representative Paul Tonko, a Democrat from the 20th House District, that includes Saratoga Springs, is hoping again this year that Congress will take up his Horse Racing Integrity Act, co-authored with Representative Andy Barr, a Republican from Kentucky. The bill would establish a uniform anti-doping and medication control program that would be developed and enforced by an independent board. Tonko says Congress has the ability to make a difference before the thoroughbred racing season returns to upstate New York.
The tragic incidents of late just are a signal. They're a call for action here that our bill has spent many years investing in, and we're growing a lot of support.
NYRA supports the bill and also recently joined a coalition of racetrack operators who plan to phase out the use of an anti-bleeding medication commonly called Lasix. The drug has been at the center of the race day medication debate. As part of the voluntary rules that are set to take effect January 1st, 2020, two-year-old horses cannot be treated with the drug 24 hours before a race. Beginning in 2021, the rule will apply to all horses in any stakes race. Also in 2021, Triple Crown races will be run with new rules on race day drugs. Critics say horses can be run more often and through pain when medicated, leading to breakdowns. Batuelo is among those who say one death is too many. He asks, what happens even if horse racing deaths are reduced by half?
Would that then be acceptable to the American public?
For WAMC News, I'm Southern Adirondack Bureau Chief Lucas Willard.
It was a long night in the Berkshires as Lenox, Massachusetts residents voted against an affordable housing plan at their annual town meeting. And as WAMC's Josh Landes reports, they also moved to open up the town to recreational marijuana sales.
A plan that would have seen the town turn over a parcel of land to the Berkshire Housing Development Corporation to build rental units aimed at lower-income residents failed to reach the two-thirds majority required to pass, garnering 54% of the vote. Robin Getson, a Stockbridge resident, spoke in support of the controversial plan known as Article 15.
I am at a loss in understanding why affordable is a wonderful quality when it comes to everything but housing. And I am also at a loss as to why those who oppose 15 continue to conjure up images of a crime-ridden slum.
Lenox voters overwhelmingly embraced an amendment to the town's bylaws that opened its zoning up to adult-use recreational marijuana businesses. Josh Landes, WAMC News.
Now we turn to Albany. A bill that would create a backdoor method to release President Donald Trump's taxes is moving through the New York State Senate and could be voted on as early as next week. Capitol correspondent Karen DeWitt reports.
Several congressional committees have been seeking President Trump's tax returns in connection with a number of investigations. The committees say they have the legal right to see the documents, but Trump has refused to release them, saying he's in the process of being audited, and his Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin has declined to hand over the papers to the committees, setting up a potential court fight. State Senator Brad Hoylman, a Democrat, is the sponsor of a bill that would create an alternative means for the Democratic congressional committees to see the president's tax returns.
I think a lot of New Yorkers and, frankly, Americans have questions as to what he's hiding.
New York lawmakers don't have authority over federal taxes, but they do have influence over state tax policy. The bill would authorize the state's Department of Taxation to release the president's tax returns if they are requested by leaders of three congressional committees and if there is a legitimate purpose to do so.
We are providing an opportunity for Congress to perform its very important oversight responsibilities, and I think we have a responsibility to do so as the state that is the home state of President Trump and many of his businesses.
Hoylman says the information in the state tax filings could likely mirror the president's federal tax filings.
We don't know for certain what is in, for example, the president's state filings, but we do know there's a lot of information, and I've been told by my own congressman, House Judiciary Chair Jerry Nadler, that that's information they'd really like to have.
In addition to the House Judiciary Committee, the House Ways and Means Committee and the Joint Committee on Taxation are seeking the returns. Even though the congressional committees could get the tax returns under the proposal, the public would not necessarily see them. It would be up to requesting committees whether they wanted to share the tax returns publicly. The bill was approved by a key state Senate committee in late April, and Hoylman says it has 33 co-sponsors, including the Senate leader, Andrea Stewart-Cousins. 32 votes are needed for passage. Governor Andrew Cuomo initially had some reservations about what he said would be the politicization of the tax filing process in New York. But he's now on board, he says, as long as the bill applies to all politicians, regardless of the party or elected office that they hold. Cuomo spoke on public radio station WAMC on April 9th.
You know, if we have passed a law that is clearly designed to help a Democratic Congress access Donald Trump's tax return, it'll be in the courts for years, because this really does raise serious constitutional questions. So the broader you make it, the better.
Cuomo says he wants everyone who runs for public office in New York to be required to release their tax returns. The bill has not yet advanced in the Assembly, though it has a majority party sponsor and the backing of over 90 Democrats in the 150-member House. Assembly Speaker Carl Hastie says he doesn't want to comment on the bill until his Democratic members discuss it in their private weekly meetings.
On bills like this, we just like to have a conversation internally to see if this is where members really want to go.
The state Senate plans to vote soon on the measure. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt.
And a Springfield, Massachusetts police officer became the latest on the force to be suspended this week over an incident with a student in a city middle school in April. Paul Tuthill reports from our Pioneer Valley News Bureau.
Acting Police Commissioner Cheryl Clapruth Thursday suspended Officer Lawrence Petrucci for 5 days without pay for violating department rules and regulations during the incident at the Kiley Middle School on April 22nd, according to a spokesperson for the police department. Earlier in the week, without identifying Petrucci, Clapruth said he was a longtime school resource officer with a good record.
And those of us who know him are shocked at the circumstances, because it's not in his behavior.
Mass Live, citing two unnamed sources, said video shows the cop shoving a student to the ground. Springfield officials say they're re-examining the role of police officers in the city's secondary schools. Paul Tuthill, WAMC News.
And that does it for this episode of the WAMC News podcast. Remember, stay subscribed for the latest from the Northeast. Till next time, I'm Ian Pickus.